Kids Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. You know, the drug epidemic is leaving kids without parents to take care of them all over Alaska and all over the country. But there are others who are stepping in, the grandparents of those kids, or in some cases the great-grandparents, who are taking on another family, taking on another generation to raise and to help out at least until the parents can take over, or maybe all the way up through high school and or maybe college graduation. And that's our topic today. It's a little thought about consequence of what's happening in our country with the opioid and meth epidemic and everything else, and also, of course, with alcoholism, which has gone on for so long in Alaska. And also, of course, with just traditional orphans, although I think they're the minority of the kids who are in this situation. So that's what we're talking about today, and I'm really going to look forward to hearing from listeners who are grandparents and who have maybe dealt with this situation and sort of the position it puts you in, how you deal with it. And I've got a lot of guests in the studio who can tell their own stories. In the second half, I will have Suzanne and John Smith, who are grandparents who are working through this. And in the first half, and hopefully through the whole show, David Carey, who is the Grand Families Network Coordinator for Volunteers of America and provides support to these families. Thanks for being here, David.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Roseanne Kimpton, she's a great-grandmother who is caring for a generation, and she's also a volunteer coordinator for the volunteer program out in the Valley for the Grand Families Network. Thanks for being here, Roseanne.
Thank you for asking me.
And I had the privilege of meeting Roseanne and going and seeing one of the programs she was putting on in Wasilla with a whole group of grandparents and kids who were whirling around doing Halloween decorations. And we've got that the column that I wrote about that up on our website at alaskapublic.org. Just pull down the radio tab into our show today, Hometown Alaska. Roseanne, it was really neat to see what you were doing for these kids and these grandparents. It was sort of just a casual social occasion. And I guess one of the things I was curious about is why that's important. Why is it important for grandparents to get together and to start to, you know, support each other in that way?
Well, in my case, I'm a great-grandparent, but even the grandparents, when you get this child, you're not of the same generation. PTAs, almost anything, you're farther away from the actual kids. And it's real important for the kids to be able to meet each other and know that other kids are doing the same thing.
You're not alone, right?
Yeah, there's not other alone. In the same kids aren't position. Alone. The grandparents aren't alone. And it gives you somebody in your own generation and saying, oh, my goodness, what do I do now?
Yeah. David, you support these families. And what are you seeing that this is an increased need?
It is. It's very much an increased need. In our program, it's a statewide program. We have grandparent volunteers, you know, such as Ms. Roseanne, who holds support groups and have these family events that she puts on for those grandparents. But we're also in Juneau, Alaska, Homer, Fairbanks. And it's so important for these grandparents and these families to come together because it's a really good time for family bonding and for the other grandkids to see other grandkids whose grandparents are raising them and that, you know, they're not alone in this.
Yeah.
You know, grandparents, they'll have good conversations. And they kind of share the joys and struggles of raising grandchildren. And so these monthly events are very healthy for these families.
Yeah. So what do you think is driving the increased need or the increased issue of grandparents having to care for grandchildren?
Well, it's definitely the opioid, you know, crisis that's happening right now, not just in our state, but just all over the United States. And the grandparents, they're wanting to keep the families together, and so they're making that sacrifice. And I mean, they're starting all over again.
Yeah.
And they're in a place to where they're not grandparents. You know, they're stepping into the role of being a parent. You know, so grandparents traditionally, you know, the parents would drop them off because they want to go on a date night, or you know, grandparents get a chance to kind of spoil the grandkids and buy them, you know, all the stuff that they want. But in this situation, the grandparents are stepping up in the role as parents, and
it's totally different.
It's totally different.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our topic today, folks. We'd love to hear from you. I'm going to give out the phone number so you can get on the air with us. And maybe you're a grandparent, or maybe you're just curious and wondering how this works and how you could maybe support it. The phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're outside the Anchorage area, there's a toll-free number, 888-353-5752. And email is a great way to get on the show with us, hometown@alaskapublic.org. Those messages come right into me in the studio, and I can ask our guests. Roseanne, I think there's a lot of challenges about being a grandparent raising young kids that you don't realize until you think about it. One is the sort of energy issue, right? Another is grandparents kind of want to relax. They've worked a hard life. But then the other one is money. I mean, when we plan for retirement, we're expecting less cost. We're expecting to live on maybe a pension or, you know, some kind of fixed income. And kids are really expensive. How has that affected you, and how does that affect the other grandparents you work with?
I think it affects all of the grandparents I'm working with. It especially affects me. I'm great-grandparent, 82. I now am raising a almost 18 and almost 14-year-old great-grandchild. Money doesn't go up. Kids grow. Oh, goodness, do they grow.
All the clothes, for one thing, right?
Shoes, boots. It's incredible how fast the 14-year-old is outgrowing things and needing more things. And with the state of Alaska, when you adopt, you get a certain subsidy. Sometimes it's, you know, it just depends upon the whim of the state.
Right.
But once they turn 18, they're no longer covered. They're an adult. Well, my 18-year-old is far from adult. And it's going to be several years before she's going to be able to leave the house or deal with herself. If you were a foster parent, the state would continue supporting you until they were 21.
Right.
So it makes a big difference. I mean, it kind of puts a damper on me going around saying adopt.
Right. So, and some grandparents take on this responsibility without any reference to Office of Children's Services at all, right? They just say,
oh, yeah.
My kid is not doing a good job of raising her kids. I'm going to take over because it's our family. And the state might not ever even know about it, right? Mm-hmm.
Several of them do that. In my group, I've got numerous ones that are flying under the radar for as far as state goes. The kid needs a home. The kid needs something. Sometimes it's a parental grandparent. Sometimes it's a maternal, and sometimes the two of them share the kids to keep them safe and housed and clothed and to kindergarten and whatever.
Because by the time the state is ready to take a kid away, things got to be pretty bad, right? And as a grandparent, you might not want it to go that far.
I don't know any grandparent that wants to wait until the child is harmed, and that's usually the rule of thumb. If the child has actual harm done to them. And who's going to wait around until the child has horrible diaper sores and not change the diaper or starving and not feed the kid? I mean, you just don't do that.
Right. So, David, I guess we can all kind of imagine why an addict would get in a situation where they're not taking good care of their kids. I mean, that's just, an obvious thing, but I mean, you kind of hear these stories that are pretty sad, and the person who would know most about it, I guess, would be a family member.
Yes, most definitely. And you know, the person that is struggling with, you know, whatever substance that they're struggling with, it's they love their kids.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to be there for their kids, but they're just not ready at that time because the drugs have such a strong hold on their behaviors, their decision making, and so. It's, you know, it's really sad. I get phone calls, you know, and grandparents are just in tears because they don't know where to start sometime. And when they call us, you know, it's just being able to, you know, just to talk about it, just to kind of vent and just to ask for help. And that's why we're there.
Yeah.
And we have many resources. And then, you know, also when we bring them into our program, we have other grandparents who's dealing with the same or similar situations to where they feed off each other and give support.
Uh-huh.
And so, Yes, it's...
Yeah, and so what? Tell us a little bit more about your program, the Grand Families Network from Volunteers of America. Volunteers of America has been around for a very long time.
Oh, yes.
How long has this program been in operation?
Well, this program has been operating since 1990. And the Grand Families program, you know, like I said, we're a statewide program, and we offer monthly support groups. We offer monthly family events. We have a bi-monthly newsletter that we send out, and it has a calendar of events on there. So, you know, some months we'll be going to Mrs. Roseanne's summer barbecues.
Uh-huh.
There's times where we'll be going to the H2 Oasis Water Park. And so we like to have family events to where they're cost-free for the most part, and there's plenty of food, and there's just a time for the grandparents to have some respite.
Right.
And a time for the grandkids just to have fun and just kind of cut loose, because they're dealing with a lot too. I mean, the grandparents are dealing with the change of having to raise their grandkids, but the grandkids are going through this change, and they need an outlet, a
right.
healthy outlet.
Right. Mm-hmm. And to know that they're not a total oddball, right? That there's other kids in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are you able to do, if anything, on this financial end of it? Are you able to help them find financial resources to get through this?
Yes. We offer, you know, food assistance, clothes assistance. You know, as far as the financial piece, we do have money in our budget for respite and for direct support. So we're able to help grandparents, you know, with their bills. We're able to help grandparents, you know, if they need car maintenance or whatever the situation is, you know, if we can find it within our budget, and we're also raising additional funds, doing fundraisers or going out for different grants so we can have more money to provide more financial support for these grandparents.
Uh-huh. So that's probably where you're looking for help from the public at this point.
Yes, especially around this time of the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's those two giving months to where we're looking for more support for these families.
Right. It's at Hometown Alaska on KSKA. I'm Charles Woolforth, and we're talking about grandparents who are taking care of their grandchildren in the role of parents because, for whatever reason, the parents can't do it. And as you've heard in this first segment, big reason right now is the drug epidemic and the folks who are unable to really take care of their kids properly because of drug problems. And so grandparents are kind of forced into the role of raising another family, which is pretty challenging when you're into your older years. And they could use our support. So our guests were David Carey, who you just heard from. He's the Grand Families Coordinator with Volunteers of America. You can find information about that on our website to learn more. We have a link if you go to alaskapublic.org and come down to our show, Hometown Alaska. You'll find David's information, or you could just Google him as well, Anchorage Grand Families Program. Also, Roseanne Kimpton, who's a great-grandmother and has been supporting other grandparents in the Valley. And Roseanne, the kids you've been raising in this round. You've been at it for quite a while now, a good decade or so, right?
Yeah, at least that. This is third time around.
Right, right.
I think you'll find that this drug, alcohol thing is generational. You know, somebody is having a problem, their parents had a problem, trying to break that cycle of one child being raised by a parent that's addicted or alcohol's involved, whatever it is, as they grow up, trying to get them to figure out how they're supposed to do it, what they're supposed to provide for this child. They don't always have the skills to do that. And alcohol and drugs are just terrible generational-wise. It just is this hamster wheel, round and round and round, and you try to step in and grab them off of that wheel and hopefully get this straightened around so we break that awful cycle.
Yeah. So it's these traumatic childhood events which affect a kid and can get them really on the wrong track and are really hard to heal. I mean, it's something that is you don't get over.
No, there's more and more scientific evidence asserting that. Now it has a fancy little title. They call it ACEs,
Adverse Childhood Events.
Adverse Childhood Events. And it's causing all kinds. And a child, even an infant, they understand if their needs aren't met, if they're crying and they're not picked up, if they're hungry and they're not fed, if they don't know where they're going to sleep the next night, or if they can sleep. These things have a long term. It's a bad consequence.
So you saw, and I obviously talking publicly about this is to only say as much as you want to, but you saw your own kids, your own grandkids going off track, and then at some point stepping in. And how does that come about, or how did you see that happening?
Well, my grandson, he was... mother and father weren't married, so things didn't, and custody took a while. And he was probably 8 before things worked out that we were able to get control of him. OCS stepped in, and it was a mess. But the damage that was done in those 8 years carried forward, and when he became a quote-unquote adult, he wasn't able to handle adult responsibilities. He didn't have the background for it, and he was trying to do the best he could with the skills he had, and I've now got almost 18-year-old great-granddaughter as a result.
Right, and so he's out of the picture, and you've now adopted your great-grandchildren.
Yeah, it became obvious. I got the call when great-grandson was born. OCS gives me a call and says, these kids need care, and if I don't step in, you know, they relative care first. They always try to replace you with a relative if possible. And I happened to be the first on the list that was able to do this thing. And so daughter was 4, and great-grandson was born. And somebody had to step in. We tried with social services. We tried with putting a family together. But they were so young and so damaged that they just weren't ready to be parents.
Yeah.
Somebody had to do it, and it ended up being me.
And you were already in your 70s at that point. How did you feel when you realized that at a time when most people would like to be slowing down, you were now going to be raising little kids?
Hey, I tell you, I was getting used to going on cruises. I went on a couple of cruises, my crochet buddy and I. It was, you know, life was going to be fun. It didn't work. Didn't happen. 2 o'clock in the morning, you get a call that OCS has got custody of the kids.
And that's a call you're going to answer.
So what are you going to do?
Yep.
I can't. I don't know any of the grandparents that I'm associated with that can just say, ho-hum, let the state figure it out.
Right.
This just doesn't happen. Kid needs care. You pick up the thing and you start doing it.
Mm-hmm. But they're awful lucky to have you, aren't they? Because otherwise they would be in foster care. And a lot of times foster care is inconsistent or you know, doesn't. In some cases it's great, but in some cases it's not.
Well, the chances of them being brother and sister in care. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to keep siblings together. It's hard to maintain, and they change homes. And it can be really traumatic on the kid not knowing what's going on.
Do you feel like as a with what you know now, you can break this cycle with the next generation and raise them so that they're not going to have these adverse events?
I'm in hopes for. You know, Robert Fulghum wrote this, everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten.
Right.
These two I got before kindergarten.
All right. So that's
I'm in hopes. I mean, you never know the future, but you know the problems that have gone on, and there's more research and more. I didn't have this when I was with the first, you know, with the grandchild. Now there is. David's here. The grandparents group is here.
All the support, yeah.
Social services and such, they're recognizing the fact that kids need this intervention. Mm-hmm. And they're presenting programs and things to help get this kid out of this cycle.
And I just want to add that I've known great parents whose kids got addicted and ran into trouble. It's not like it's not the parent's fault. Obviously, if you know, a parent who has problems is less likely to have a successful kid, but you can also be a great parent and have your kid get addicted.
It just happens.
Yep.
I mean, it's there, and this opioids, they're innocently taking a drug because a doctor told them to.
Right. Right.
And then all of a sudden, they can't stop. It's you know, it's just not anybody's particular fault. It just happens.
Yeah. Well, let's take a call. William is calling from Wasilla. William?
For taking my call. I'm elderly now, but I grew up back in the 50s when we had what they call welfare homes, which now they call foster homes. I highly recommend nobody going in foster care, because I recalled I was in 13 of them, and every time I went to a different place, it was terrorizing psychologically. And then after about the third or fourth or fifth day you were there, you found out, because you broke some house rule, you were somebody else's dog. And then, irregardless of the fact that you are in a terrible foster care situation, you still bond with that environment, with those people. And then the bond gets broke, and off you go to another place, and you got to experience all those new smells, new rules, new food, and you don't know when it's going to end.
Yeah. How did that affect you, William? I mean, in terms of being, when you became an adult, was that something that you had to struggle with that passed?
Well, I did, but I also lived under the threat of going to jail all the time from these people. And so when that hippie generation thing came along, I avoided that like the plague, because that was a direct route to jail as far as I was concerned, and also a health issue, mental issue. I wanted my freedom, and I wasn't going to give it up to drugs or jail. So, yeah, it was a struggle, but it also became a struggle in interpersonal relationships, also called marriage. And so I realized in my marriage I was repeating the same cycle that I was in that welfare home cycle. So the damage has been done.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You can't go out and have a good marriage relationship if you come from that kind of environment. And so that's why you see a lot of people just give up and party for the time being and let the future worry about itself.
I hear you, and that's a really good point, William. Thanks for bringing that up. It's another reason why it's great for grandparents to step in. Though I have also heard some good foster care stories. I think I wouldn't want to say they were all like your experience, but I know a lot of them were.
I'm not saying they are. What I'm saying, it's the bonding, and then the breaking of the bond. It doesn't matter whether they're good, bad, or otherwise. It's the bonding, and then you break the bond. The bond, then you break the bond.
Right.
Yeah, they were uncomfortable. That's for doggone sure. But what I'm saying is that bond issue I'm talking about, that's the psychological damage that stays with you. I'm 72 years old, and I still live it.
Yeah, I hear you, William. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really good insight, and I'm really glad you called in. I want to let others who may have had these kinds of experiences or have questions about them, you can call in. The number here on the show is 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're outside Anchorage, toll free, 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And my guests in the studio right now are David Carey, who is with the Grand Families Network of the Volunteers for America, and Roseanne Kempton, who is a great-grandmother and a leader among grandparents raising kids in the Valley. Did that call ring a bell with you, David? I mean, just as the fact that the work you're doing supporting these grand families is essentially keeping kids out of foster care, right? And that's a pretty important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that keeping that family bonding, that family connection alive that he was talking about.
Yes, it's very important. You know, when he touched on that, you know, he didn't know, you know, where he was going.
Yeah.
You know, he would be a one family, you know, for a period of time, and then he would go to another family. And so just that not being able to know if this family is going to be committed to him, to where he can feel comfortable, like, okay, this is a place that I can call home, and these people are going to be committed to me. And so with the grandparents raising their grandkids, the grandkids know, like, okay, this is my grandmother.
This is your blood, flesh and blood.
This is family, and they're going to commit their lives to me.
Yeah. And do you see, are the grandparents often trying to get the kids back to their regular parents? I mean, is that something that is a big goal for them a lot of the time? Or because I would think that you would, I mean, it's obviously best if the parent could, you know, get into recovery and take over, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a goal for all the grandparents that's in our program. But the harsh reality for some of these families is just that they know it's going to be a struggle for their kids.
Yeah.
And they're going to do their best to help them. But the kids that are struggling, they're going to have to want to do it for themselves. You know, they're going to have to want to make that change, go to whatever treatment that they need to go to and get the help that they need so they can be in a good place to where they can raise their own children again.
Yeah, yeah, it's a long road. Mm-hmm. And there's always a lot of relapse involved, right? I mean, mm-hmm. even when you've been through treatment, that doesn't mean it's, you know, you're not going to go back. And that's one of the really tough things about it, and the lack of treatment that's out there and the fact that we are not meeting the need. Roseanne, do you see that among the grandparents you work with, that they're kind of striving to get the grandkids back with the parents? Or is that kind of pie in the sky in some cases?
Well, it's both. Mm-hmm. Grandparents are caught in a really hard bind. They've got a child that, for whatever reason, is messing up. They love that child, and they want the best for that one. They've also got this grandchild, and it's the young one. It's the one that needs it. And so you have to, in some way, prioritize the young one. That one has to be your first thing. If they can arrange it so the family can go back together, that's ideal. But in the meantime, you have to protect the youngest there. That child is the one that you can make a change in.
Right.
The older one has to make their own change.
I think we all know that addicts can often turn into accomplished liars and get really good at hiding what they're up to. Is a parent better able to catch on to that than anyone else? I mean, because I would think that would be something you're always trying to figure out.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard. It's really hard to know. You want to believe them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you've got enough experience to know, it's like that. You know, verify what is actually happening.
Right.
Don't just take the surface, oh, yes, everything is fine, I'm not drinking. Check around, make sure what's going on.
And maybe dropping in unexpectedly and seeing what it's like.
Yeah, sometimes grandma has to be sneaky.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but, and in the meantime, you keep that child safe. And you make sure everything is done, until you know it's safe, everything is done in your presence.
Let's go to another caller who's calling in from Sutton. We're getting a lot of Valley calls today. Dennis is calling. Dennis?
Yes.
Did you have a comment?
Yes. I'm a great... me and my wife tried to get our great-grandchildren and out of OCS and foster care. Anyway, we went to court, and we had our doctor call in and said we were physically, mentally fit. My wife is on painkillers, but I'm, you know, great shape, and I make $100,000 a year. I told the state, I don't need a dime, just give me the kids. Anyway, the conclusion of the court case was that we were great-grandparents, and they didn't recognize great-grandparents as relatives.
Wow. So you lost that case, huh?
Yes.
Where did the kids end up?
They're in foster care, and they're probably going into adoption right now. That's what I've heard. But I've told those OCS, and OCS has really been bad about this case, but I told the OCS supervisor, I said, you know, these kids, they don't want to be there. They want to be with their family. They know they've got a large extended family, and they love them, and they weren't mistreated. They weren't starved or anything else. It's just that the mother was taking drugs, which she has since cleaned up. She's been off drugs for about 6 years now. But anyway.
Tough situation. I'm sorry to hear it, Dennis. And a lot of these situations are really tough. And just, there's always a lot of court stuff that goes on, right, Roseanne? You really have to get savvy about going to court and how to testify and all that.
Yeah, you're not raised understanding guardian ad litems and all of the other fancy court things that go on. And you have to learn to document everything. Keep your own records, take your own pictures, make sure what's going on, because social services and such is such a high turnover rate. They can't keep it up.
Yeah.
You have to be your own, you have to be your own spokesman.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to break in just a moment. And when we come back, I have two more guests who are grandparents who are raising their grandkids. I've also got Dave Carey in the studio from the Grand Families Network, Volunteers of America, and Roseanne Kimpton, who is a great-grandmother raising grandkids in the Valley. My name is Charles Woolforth. When I come back, I'll give out those phone numbers again, and we also have some other callers lined up. So lots of folks to talk about this grandparent phenomenon that we're facing with the drug epidemic as we try to deal with this terrible problem that's hitting our communities. My name is Charles Woolforth. I'll be with you again in just a minute as Hometown Alaska continues.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth. And today we're talking about grandparents who are taking care of their grandchildren in the role of parents, because in a lot of cases, the parent himself or herself is addicted to drugs and unable to do that role. It's tough for the grandfather or grandmother to have to step in and raise another family when they're planning on retirement. But as you heard in the first half, they're ready to do it because it's family and because it keeps the kids out of foster care and keeps them with somebody who really loves them and will care for them. And so these grandparents need our support. As a community, we need to be helping them out, and that's what we've been talking about. If you have a story to tell or questions for our guests, you can get on the air with us at 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're outside Anchorage, the toll-free number is 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And now I'd like to introduce two more guests. Suzanne Smith and John Smith are grandparents who are in this role of taking care of their grandkids. And thanks for being with us, Suzanne and John.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Suzanne, tell us about your situation. What age are the kids you're taking care of, and what are you up against?
Well, in the beginning, our journey coming into the Grand Families program started in 2015 when my son-in-law had testicular cancer. They were in recovery. They relapsed. OCS called us, basically, and we took the kids from there. Since then, it's been a really hard 2 years for our family. My son-in-law committed suicide and died.
Oh, no.
And it just kind of fueled my daughter's addiction. And then when we got the grandkids, some things happened. One ended up in a therapeutic foster home, and the other one ended up in another foster home. They were separated. And now there's two different dads. One, the oldest, he's 10. He lives in with his bio dad in another state, and we have the baby. He's 8. Well, he's not really a baby, but he's my baby.
Uh-huh.
And
what a lot of tragedy and hardship. I'm really sorry for your story.
Yeah, I say, you know, like my grandson, their anger and sadness level exceed their size.
Yeah, yeah. And so how do you handle that? I mean, I know as a parent, when you've got a kid who's upset, You take a lot of that yourself, don't you?
Oh, man, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, not to feel like, you know, where did I fail or something.
Right.
And, you know, my daughter's grown, you know, making her own choices. And I'm happy to say right now, though, she's back going to meetings and trying to get her recovery back.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a tough part of it, too.
Yeah. And like you guys talked about the court thing, there's a lot of court going on. And it looks like our grandson will be with us for quite some time now.
Yeah. What kind of changes does that force on you and your lifestyle?
Well, when we had our daughters, we had two girls. We have two girls. They're older now, but when they turned 18 and got out of school, we're like, woohoo, it's our time, you know, and maybe we can get a honeymoon in now or something. And it just kind of really hasn't worked out like that. You know, I've helped my daughter, you know, for the whole life of all my grandchildren, for both my grandsons. And her and her husband, you know, they lived with us on and off, you know, and trying to help them. And then I remember asking her a couple times, hey, do you want me to take the kids, you know? Should I, you know, take them? And no, everything's good. And sometimes you always can't tell, you know, because they are good manipulators and liars.
Yep.
And for me, as a mom, you know, I just wanted to believe what she's saying. You know, okay, she's not doing it. She says she's not doing it. It's true. And I wanted to believe that so bad. But part of me kind of knew, I don't know really if that's true.
Something's not right here. Yeah.
So then OCS called us in 2015 of January, and I didn't know what to do for the first few months. I have a friend who's part of the program. She told me about it, gave me David's number. I called him crying, not knowing what to do, and that's when we became part of the program.
So he helped talk you through this situation.
Yeah, and gave me a lot of resources that I didn't even know were out there.
Uh-huh, yeah. So, John, tell me about how this hit you, suddenly having little ones at home when you thought you were done with that. I mean, I'm close to being done with that, and I think, I've been thinking about the next step in my life, not going backwards.
Right. For me, I know that it was quite a blow. I was like, wow, I was ready to rock and roll. Let's go retire.
Yeah.
Have fun, you know. But then the kids came, and it was like, well, now I need to be a dad again. Uh-huh. And I was willing to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Part of my situation was when I got married into the family, I married into a ready-made family because when I was younger, I was in the military and did not want a family at the time because of what I did in the military.
Uh-huh.
And so now, being that I'm a second-time dad, it's been amazing, but it's also been trying.
Yeah.
Being that I have a younger male in the house, and trying to teach him sometimes is like going and prying teeth out of a crocodile.
Yeah.
But
I don't
think,
you know, for a boy in our culture today, having a male figure in a household is so important, right? They need a dad to sort of figure out how do you be a guy in this society.
Yep. It's so very important. Part of the family dynamic is that you have to have both parents in the situation or a parent that's strong enough to step up for both. And the one thing that I learned quickly is that if I'm going to do something, I need to do it, and I need to make sure that the younger generation that is in my home understands why I'm doing it and what I'm doing it for.
Right. I think that's so true, is that when you get older, and I'm not a grandparent yet, but I've got a 26-year-old, you learn a little bit more about parenting, and you learn, like, wow, what I'm doing right now actually is going to be an influence, even if it's just, you know, if it's some minor ethical thing, you start thinking about, oh, the kids are watching, and this is going to matter 10 years from now, right?
Yes.
And so maybe older parents have a few skills that younger parents don't have.
Very much so. And the other thing that, as a parent, I learned quickly how to do things and do it properly to where my kids knew what I was all about.
Uh-huh.
As a father and as a person. And then on top of that, it having a second child in the home was, it's amazing, but sometimes it's like I have to take a step back and look at how I parented before. And each situation is different, and each child is different, which makes it so much more unique in the fact that, yes, I can't do what I did before because this person or this child is not the same as the first one.
Yeah. You know, when I wrote this column about the Grand Families Network and what the work that Roseanne is doing, a lot of supportive comments online, a lot of people saying, you know, go for it, and I want to support them. And then a couple saying, well, it's your fault that the kids are having trouble in the first place, you know. And I would think that, I mean, just turning to you, Suzanne, I mean, I don't think it's your fault, but I mean, does that ever bug you that you sort of like, oh, so somehow I'm to blame for this?
In the beginning, yeah, because you wonder, what could I have done to save my kid from the drugs or alcohol? Yeah. And I have to look at my own story. I'm in recovery. Uh-huh. In December, by the grace of God, I'll have 17 years.
Oh,
and it's not always easy. And like Roseanne was saying, you know, like it starts out innocently taking medication from the doctor.
Right.
And then next thing you know.
It's not necessarily blame here.
Other things happen, other circumstances, other feelings come into play, you know, and I just know for me that with our family, it's not all my fault.
Yeah.
You know, I did the best I could with what I had, which wasn't much. I was a single parent.
Yeah.
And shared custody with their dad. And
yeah, and you're doing your best now, too,
yeah,
and really, really helping.
You know, so. It makes me kind of sad when people want to point their fingers.
I know.
Because, one, you got three pointing back at yourself. And secondly, what if the shoe was on the other foot?
Yeah. All right, let's go to Mary, who's calling from Anchorage. Mary, did you have a comment?
Yes, I wanted to. I am so grateful that I joined Grandparents Network in
Mary,
June.
I think you're, can you turn down your radio? It sounds like there's a bit of an echo because of that.
I'm using my walker. Just give me 1 minute to get to.
All right, we'll be patient. And I'll just take that time to tell folks it's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about grandparents raising kids. And if you want to get on the show, we've got about 15 minutes left. The phone number here is 550-8433, or you can get on via email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And four guests in the studio, you're hearing from Suzanne and John Smith. And also we've got David Carey from the Grand Families Network and Roseanne Kimpton, who's a great-grandma. All right, Mary, are you ready?
Yes, I'm now sitting down.
Great.
Yes, I joined the program in June, and I've been very blessed. I really appreciate the support meetings that we have monthly in the newsletter and the fun things that we do with kids and grandparents. I never had that growing up. I have a granddaughter that's 11. My son is waiting for a heart transplant, and he has mental health issues, and it's kind of up and down and sideways, and have given me great support. And I want to be there for my granddaughter. I don't want her to happen what happened to me. I was at one time at an orphanage, and different homes I was in. I was very grateful. My first husband died of active duty on the military, and I was a single parent, and I threw myself into working overtime. And I think I might have neglected my son. I feel very guilty, but I know that things that have happened with him are not my fault. I have to forgive myself. But
yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you're raising a kid, even though you've got some mobility problems of your own.
You know, I'm not technically raising my granddaughter. I'm helping them financially.
I got you.
I'm their financial pocketbook. Anyway, my the foster care system and things that I went through during my lifetime, at age 17, I was able to come back and live with the original family that helped raise me from an infant to 9 years of age. They were elderly Mexican family. She became ill. We had to leave home. It was very hard for me, but my last husband I had encouraged me to have therapy for trauma listening as a child in different homes I was in, and I'm presently waiting to have the EMDR to help me, but it left me with a lifelong trust issues. and being a white, being afraid of white men.
Wow.
I'm getting over that because both of my husband were white.
Thanks, Mary, and thanks for the shout out to the Grand Families group, which seems like a great group. I really appreciate your call. Now I'm going to go to Paul, who's calling from Anchorage. Paul.
Hey. I was just wanted to respond to the couple of the comments that I'd heard about assigning blame. You know, it's like, you know, blaming the grand, you know, it's like it's your fault, or, you know, for yourself, you know, looking at your own, you know, what's her name, Mary?
Mary was just speaking, And earlier, Suzanne.
The lady who's on the show right now.
Suzanne.
Sorry, yeah. She sometimes maybe thought about that too, but just wanted to point out, and it seems obvious to me, that, you know, it's not really productive. It's not productive. And it kind of misses the whole point, really, that it doesn't, you know, matter, you know, whose fault it is. What matters is who's stepping up to parent this child now. You know, that's really ultimately the only thing you have to focus on. And you got to let all that other stuff go. And it just kind of makes me angry to hear that somebody else would criticize, you know, the program without stopping to think about really what's it all about, you know, in the first place, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. That's a great point. Let me turn to back to David Carey from the Grand Families Network. It sounds like you were a big help to John and Suzanne Smith when they realized, oh my gosh, we're into this huge problem and we've got to figure it out. Do you also run into some of this stuff with just sort of talking people through these issues about blame or just the whole complex family psychology of this stuff? Because you've worked with a lot of people in this situation.
Yes. And so, you know, when I first started, I was a listening ear, you know, and the grandparents would call, and I had this thought like, okay, these are my elders. I go to them and I look for advice or for wisdom. And now I'm in this position to where, you know, I have to be able to give some type of advice or feedback to help their situation. And so, you know, a lot of times I was just that listening ear, but then I came to the point to where I was able to give some good advice and some good, you know, feedback or information to these grandparents to help them through their situation. And then we also have Volunteers of America. We have a family therapy, and we also have other resources in the community to where we can direct the families to so they can get the help and the support that they need.
Yeah, it really sounds like
support.
These folks should really be in touch with you because you have a lot to offer,
mm-hmm.
A lot of different services.
Yes, yes. And also with our referral service, you know, we have, as far as for legal advice, Alaska Legal Services, they provide free legal advice on non-criminal, you know, cases. Uh-huh. And so we can direct those grandparents that are looking for, you know, legal advice. So when they go to the court or whatever, you know, they have, they'll be prepared.
Yeah, that's great. Lynn is calling in about adoption. Lynn?
So, briefly, I just made some notes of my story. So, my grandfather, raising my two grandkids with my wife, and their mother, our daughter, was run over and killed by her boyfriend at the time. They had two kids, and these are the two kids we went through custody visitation, court, having to pay for all of that to ultimately end up with full custody of the kids. The father was never charged with the crime. He had run over my daughter and killed her and dropped her at the hospital and left the scene and hid the evidence. So there was no, it went to grand jury, no true bill. But fortunately, we claimed rightfully so, that he was incapable of raising the kids. We had lawyers and went to court and ultimately took them from Kentucky to where we lived in Ohio and then finally here to Alaska.
Wow. That sounds such a complex and terrible story. And I just would think that a lot of trauma for everybody involved and just working through that.
It, So the other things we hit are, you know, blame and forgiveness, going to through all this, you know, therapy and so forth. And the kids were denied therapy at the beginning because their dad was under investigation for the death of their mother. And so they were hidden and even taken to out of state as he was moving around. So very, very difficult thing. I just connect with a lot of what you're talking about. The main reason why I'm calling, I didn't hear you say that this would be available on podcast.
This will be available on podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
And, but I mean, well, thanks for sharing that story. That seems like the least of your issues you're raising. But yeah, Hometown Alaska is on the air at 2 o'clock and then repeats at 8 tonight. You may be listening to the repeat version. And then we're also up on podcast, and you can find the show on alaskapublic.org. Go under the radio tab and pull down to Hometown Alaska, and you'll find today's show and links to the resources that we're talking about, the Grand Families Network, and also a column that I wrote on this topic with our guests Roseanne Kimpton and David Carey in the Alaska Dispatch News. So thanks for that question, Lynn, and thanks for telling you about your story. I want to turn back to you again, Roseanne. Lynn brought up the issue of counseling and therapy for the kids. And boy, in a situation where there was some kind of a homicide or horrible situation like that, boy, would they need it, right? And I'm sure that you've probably seen that with the grandparents you work with. Do you think therapy is really important for everybody in the situation?
I think it's especially important. My two that I have now were, the court had given Daddy custody, and it ended up with the police having to remove the two children from a drunken area and to put them into the Salvation Army safe house until they could figure out where or what. The 7, almost 8-year-old great-granddaughter was sure that she was in trouble with the police. They had picked her up out of her bed in her pajamas and taken her to a strange place. So, of course, she was in trouble with the police.
And she didn't know what else had gone on.
She didn't realize Daddy was already in trouble, but she wasn't going to say anything to anybody to get Daddy in more trouble. These kids take on the responsibility, and then you have to be. Daddy running around and living on the street and all of the things that went on at that point. She required numerous years of therapy. The grandson was, great-grandson, was young.
He was just a baby at the time.
Just,
right?
You know, yeah. 3-4 years old. So he doesn't relate to much of it, other than for the longest time, his first statement was, I don't have a daddy. Then he would want to know, where am I going to sleep? Where was his bed going to be? And if food came on the table, was there more?
Uh-huh.
And these are just ingrown things. You have to, psychiatric and counseling and peer counseling.
So it takes time to get them to that level of security.
It's super important,
right.
Yeah, because these kids take it on themselves.
Yeah. Suzanne, you're nodding. Did you see the same sort of things with the kid who lacked a sense of security about the world?
Oh, yeah, especially with ours. My little 8-year-old, you know, he's, with everything he's going through, you know, with his dad dying, you know, and we were going to join a grief group. And in order to join the grief group, we had to tell him how his dad died. And then not being with his, you know, mom and stuff and his brother being separated. Counseling is very important. He not only goes to counseling, but we do a family counseling, uh-huh, too. Because he needs to know he's safe,
right.
You know, and we're constantly telling him, wherever you go, or wherever we go, you're going with us. Wherever I go, you go. I mean, you're stuck with us, kind of thing.
Right.
And mm-hmm. And it's so true about what Roseanne was saying. You know, that's how little man was. Like, you know, okay, where's my bed? Can I have seconds? You know, like stockpiling, because they just don't ever know where the next one's coming from.
Right.
And it wasn't like that bad for our grandson. But with just all the insecurities, I've seen how all the insecurities in all areas of his little life were playing out.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's something that you're giving that no one else could give. You know, that must feel great to know that you are, and John, you're nodding here too. I mean, that this is something that you're able to provide to this young life, this family member of yours that otherwise would not be there.
I'm so grateful to God that we have the opportunity to be there, because not all families can be there like this. And if it wasn't for the Grand Families program, I really don't know what I would do or where I would turn for certain things or advice or resources. The Grand Families program, since we've joined, has been, everybody in the program has been so kind and loving and caring and reaching out to us. And like, if we need a hug, you know, it's there. And I'm just really grateful.
That is great. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. You know, it's just for our listeners to hear about what you guys are going through and what you're doing for the community and for your families, but for everyone is really, really touching. And I guess I have to turn back to you, David. That must be really nice to hear that from Suzanne about what a big impact you've made on their lives.
Yes. I mean, I've been blessed, you know, and these grandparents, they call it a network program because it's like a family. You know, we are a family. We support each other. Yeah. The grandparents support me. I support the grandparents. And it's just one big family. We all love each other, and we're here to support these families and to support those that need help in the community.
And what could community members or listeners who are with us right now do to do their part? Because, I mean, we pay our taxes, but we'd rather the kids not be in OCS. We'd rather they be with their grandparents, right? You know, mm-hmm. And you guys are not, I don't know if you're government funded at all or how you get your money, but what do you need from us as the public to help this program be strong?
We would definitely love to have money, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, money is always a good thing.
Because you're supporting people, you know, you're doing a lot of services for people.
Yes, but if they want to donate money, clothes, food, toiletries.
Okay, really,
You know, toilet paper, paper towel, I mean, just whatever they have that they want to give, books, whatever that they have that they want to give to support our program, they can go to voaak.org. They can go to the donate section, and they can donate however much they want to donate. And in the comments section, when they scroll down, they'll see comments. Just put Grand Family Network Program.
Perfect.
And if they want to come down to our downtown office, they can come to 509 West 3rd Avenue, Suite 103. It's Anchorage, Alaska, 99501. And they can drop off whatever goods that they want to donate to our program.
Well, I think we're about out of time, but if people don't want to help out after hearing that, then they're never going to want to help out, because that was a really moving and powerful hour for me, and I really appreciate all of you being here.
Thank you.
Suzanne and John Smith, their grandparents who have benefited from the Grand Families Network, raising their own grandchild. Roseanne Kempton is raising two great-grandchildren and helping a lot of other grandparents in the Valley. Thanks for being here, Roseanne.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you also to David Carey, Grand Families Network Coordinator for Volunteers of America. Thanks for being here, David.
Good, thank you.
Next week, you're going to have Kathleen McCoy as your host on Hometown Alaska. So please tune in again. And my name is Charles Wolforth. Thanks for being with us.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.